as we studied some things related to the issue of knowing and doing the will of God. And we did that as it relates to who we are as members of the church, the body of Christ today, living in the dispensation of grace. And so I want to read this morning verse 9 and 10 and then have a word of prayer. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Lord, thanks for this day and for this time. We pray that as we look this morning at the issue of a worthy walk, that we'll have clarity and understanding from Your Word, and that the saints will be edified through what we're going to do today and what we're going to look at in Your Word. We're grateful for this time that we could spend together. In Christ's name, amen. So last week, as I said, we wrapped up our discussion of Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, by looking at some practical things regarding knowing and doing the will of God. And so I'm not going to repeat all that. That's online. That's available for you for free on the internet if you are interested in getting that information. This morning, as I've been tasked by at least two people to get on with it because of weather that's apparently approaching, okay, I want to get right into what we're going to talk about regarding verse 10. This morning I want to move into or continue and move on and forward with our exposition of Paul's prayer here in chapter 1 by looking at some things in verse 10 regarding walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And so that's kind of what we're going to be looking at. And the title is simply, that ye might walk worthy. So as we get to verse 10 now, as you see verse 10 there in your Bible, it says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. I want to start that, our talk about that verse, by looking at the first word, the word that. Okay? When you see the word that in your English Bible, it's important. It's always, almost always giving you the purpose and the intent of what was just said. In my Bible, I literally have the word that circled to signal to me when I read that, that it's going back up to what he just said at the end of verse 9. At the end of verse 9, as we've seen now for many weeks, he expresses his desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. What's the purpose? What's the reason? What's the intent that Paul has in praying that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will? We get that in verse 10. The word that signifies the purpose and the intent of what was just said in verse 9. So, why, let me put it a different way. Why does Paul pray and desire that the Colossians would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding? What's the reason? What's the intent? What's the desire that he has? Why is he praying that on their behalf? We find out in verse 10. So that they might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. So there's a reason why he's praying that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding in verse 9, and that's for the purpose and the intent in verse 10 that they would walk worthy unto all pleasing. So right away that should tell us some things, right? Can I walk worthy unto all pleasing if I don't know what God's doing? If I don't know his will, if I don't know what God would have me to do, how he would have me to think, how he would have me to function as a member of the church, the body of Christ, then it's going to be hard for me in the next verse to walk worthy. Okay? The worthy walk is coming out of the knowledge of his will in the previous verse. So let's look at this verse, and that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. So the purpose and the intent is that ye might, he says. So he says ye, he's obviously referring to who? He's referring to the entire church that's at Colossae, right? He's referring to the members of the body of Christ, the members of the church at Colossae, and his desire then is that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Okay? Now if you look at the verse there in that statement, the verb might walk. Let's talk about that first. Okay? The verb translated might walk is in the active voice, which means that this is an action that has to be taken by the Colossians. Okay? Let me put it a different way. Is a worthy walk going to be automatic? No. A worthy walk is not going to be automatic. You cannot hit cruise control and just have a worthy walk, right? It's in the active voice, which means, are the Colossians going to have to make choices and decisions that are consistent with a worthy walk? Right? So they know the knowledge of His will in verse 9, and now they're going to have to put that knowledge to work in their life and function on the basis of that knowledge so that they can make choices and decisions so that they can function in reality with a worthy walk. Okay? So put another way, Paul's prayer is that the Colossians would choose to walk worthy. Okay? Does he want them to walk worthy or unworthy? He wants them to walk worthy. If they're going to walk worthy, they're going to have to walk worthy on the basis of knowledge that they gained in the previous verse, right? So, walking worthy is not automatic. Rather, it stems from the choices that the Colossians are going to be making in real time in an ongoing manner. So, the worthy walk is not automatic. It's not autopilot. It's based on choices that you make, drawing from the reservoir of truth and the knowledge that you have of God's will from the previous verse. Okay? Now, as I just said, that stems though, that said, their choice to walk worthy stems from and is rooted in their knowledge of God's will from verse 9. So if they don't know what God's doing, if they don't know who God has made them in Christ, if they don't know what God wants for them, and what His will is for them, all the things we looked at last Sunday, then when you get to verse 10, is it going to be exceedingly difficult for them to walk worthy? That worthy walk is rooted and based in the knowledge of His will from verse 9. Okay? Now let's look at it again, verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Let's talk next about the word walk. Walk is a term Paul uses throughout his epistles to talk about the proper life and conduct of believers. Okay? Now, you can think about the term walk, right? People use this term all the time to talk like, you know, you're just walking through life. What do they mean? It's a euphemism for saying you're just living, right? You're strolling away, you're doing your thing, you're walking through life, right? When I used to play football in high school, the day before the game, we would have a walkthrough. Meaning, we go over the game plan and walk through everything at a different speed than what you would conceivably do it during the game, right? So as a way of reinforcing what the roles and responsibilities were, so on and so forth, right? So walk is a term that Paul uses throughout his epistles to talk about the proper life and conduct as believers progress and mature in their Christian life, okay? The word walk in verse 10 occurs 30 times in 29 different verses in Paul's epistles. So this is a prevalent idea. It's an idea that Paul talks about all throughout his epistles, the issue of our walk, our conduct as saints, as members of the church, the body of Christ. The word that is translated walk, the Greek word has the following meaning. It means to make one's way. It means to make one's way, to progress, to make use of opportunities, okay? In Hebrew, it is the idea of to live, to regulate one's life, to conduct oneself, and so forth. So it is the idea of your progress through life, the manner in which you're going to walk and conduct yourself and run your affairs, the decisions that you make, the attitudes that you're going to have. All of that is part of your walk in these passages. Okay? Now he brings it up here and he says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. The issue of a worthy walk is something that is a major theme, frankly, right here in the book of Colossians. Every chapter, in some way, shape, or form, touches upon the issue of our walk. He brings it up there in chapter 1, verse 10. Go to chapter 2 quick. Go over to chapter 2. We'll start at verse 4. Go over to chapter 2, look at verse 4. He says, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I present with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." Now look at verse 6. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so what? Walk ye in Him." So there it is in chapter 2. The issue of our walk in Christ, right? And he says there, as you received Him, so what? So your walk, we'll study this more when we get to chapter 2, but your walk is to be conducted in the same way, in the same manner in which you received Him. Right? Well, how did you receive Him? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved, how? Through faith. So my walk as a believer is going to be walked out, it's going to be consistent with how I received Him. So I'm not going to now think that the way I'm going to produce life and godliness is by putting myself under the law. The law couldn't save me, and the law is also not going to bring about a worthy walk in my life. All the law is going to do is fertilize my flesh. So if I'm going to walk worthy of the Lord, I'm going to do it in a way that is consistent with how I received Him. Chapter 2, verse 6 again, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. So my walk as a believer is going to also be then by grace through what? Faith. Okay? Now go to chapter 3. He brings it up again. Paul brings it up again in chapter 3. For the sake of time, we'll just go straight to verse 7. Actually, we need to go up to verse 5. Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. Look at verse 7. In the which, so in those things, in the which ye also walked some time when ye what? Lived in them. So he's talking there about the way the Colossians used to live, used to think, used to function, used to walk before they got what? Saved. Now that they're saved, are they supposed to think different, act different, make better choices, and function different than they did when they were unsaved? Okay? So the walk is again, it's in chapter 2, it's in chapter 3. Go to chapter 4. Go to Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Here he says, walk in what? Now notice, he says, walk in wisdom, then he's specific, toward them that are without. Those would be, what he means there is, walking in wisdom toward those who are not part of the assembly, okay? Not part of the local church here. He says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming what? The time, right? Now, if you're going to walk in wisdom, go back to chapter 1. If you're going to walk in wisdom, what are you going to have? You're going to have some knowledge, some wisdom, some what? Understanding, right? Chapter 1, verse 9, second half of the verse, that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual what? So if I'm going to walk in wisdom, that means I have to have some what? Wisdom to walk in. If I don't have any wisdom to walk in, it's going to be exceedingly difficult for me to walk in what? In wisdom. So back to chapter 1, what he's saying in verse 10 is flowing out of what he said in verse 9. Now, so worthy walk is a major theme of the book of Colossians. In fact, we will be talking about it a lot when we get to chapter 3. Chapter 3 and 4 is the practical section of the book of Colossians where there's a lot of material about the worthy walk and what that looks like and so forth. What I want to do today is talk about our walk in a more general sense, looking at some things from throughout Paul's epistles. So, I just mentioned to you a moment ago that the word walk occurs 30 times in 29 verses in Paul. We've looked at the fact that it occurs one time in each of the four chapters of Colossians. And what I want to look at next is some of the major things said throughout Paul's epistles about the issue of our walk. Come with me to Romans 6. Come with me to Romans 6. So what we're trying to understand is the issue of how to walk worthy. And we know, first of all, that a worthy walk is not conducted on the basis of ignorance. You have to have some knowledge, wisdom, and understanding in what God is doing to be able to walk worthy. We know it's not automatic. We know it's going to come on the basis of choices, on actions that we take by faith in what God's Word says to do is going to produce a worthy walk. The first time we encounter this is in Romans 6. Look at verse 4. Romans 6, look at verse 4. Talking here about the death of our old man, in verse 4 he says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Now look at the last phrase here. Even so we also should walk, how? In newness of what? Have we been given new life as saved members of the church, the body of Christ?
Amen.
Yes. Has God the Holy Spirit come in and taken up a residency within our heart? Okay? If you go to verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve what? Sin. So because our old man is crucified and put to death, which is what crucified means, by the way, because our old man is crucified and put to death, do we now have the ability to walk in newness of life? As a saved member of the church, the body of Christ, does God Almighty want you to walk the way you used to walk, as we'll see in a minute, in the vanity of your mind, or does He want you to walk in newness of life? There's a walk of newness of life here that we are capable of living now because we are in Christ and Christ is in us, positionally. Come over to Romans 8. Come over to Romans 8. Look at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after what? The Spirit. Does He want you as a believer to be walking after the flesh? No. He wants you to be walking after what? The condemnation here that is talked about in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, is not condemnation from God. It is self-condemnation that you put upon yourself when you try to keep the what? The law. When you try to keep the law, thinking that the law is going to bring about newness of life, that the law is going to bring about the walk that God wants, all you are doing is putting yourself under a system of what? Condemnation. There is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after what? The Spirit. When we walk after the Spirit, there is no what? Condemnation. Paul says, drop down to verse 4, same chapter, verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after what? The Spirit. So the second thing we see about our walk is that our walk is not to be after the flesh. Our walk is to be after what? The Spirit, right? How do you determine whether you're going to walk after the flesh or whether you're going to walk after the Spirit? The way you determine that is based upon the things that you choose to mind. The things that you choose to pay attention to. The things that you choose to give mental assent and a place in your mind, in your thinking, and in your life is going to determine the way, whether you're going to walk after the flesh or whether you're going to walk after what? The Spirit. And if you're going to yield to the flesh, then you will have the flesh reap in your life the condemnation. Not condemnation from God, but the natural consequence of your choice to walk after what? The flesh. If you will of the Spirit, walk after the Spirit, you will reap what comes as a result of that in your life, right? So it's the choice of the believer. Are you going to walk that way or are you going to walk this way? Okay? Go to Romans 13. Go to Romans 13. Romans 13. Come on. There we go. Look at verse 13. He says in verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Okay? Then he says in verse 13, let us walk how? Honestly, as in the day. Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for who? Or for what I should say? The flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. See, you make the choice, right? Are you going to put on Christ or are you going to walk out after the flesh? How are we supposed to walk in that verse? Honestly. So we're supposed to walk in newness of life, walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. We're instructed to walk honestly, not in rioting and drunkenness and so on and so forth, but to put on Christ. Come over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Come over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What's the opposite of walking honestly? You could say walking dishonestly. Scripture says it slightly different here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says in verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Watch verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of what? So that's the opposite of honesty, right? The opposite of honesty is what? Dishonesty. So he says, we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in what? Craftiness. Okay? Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Right? So we are to walk honestly. We are not to walk dishonestly in craftiness or the handling of the Word of God deceitfully, right? We are supposed to walk honestly as members of the church, the body of Christ. So we're to walk in newness of life. We're to walk after the Spirit. We're to walk in honesty. We're not to walk after the flesh. And we're not to walk in craftiness and deceitfulness and dishonestly as the obvious opposite of that. Come over to chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 7. How are we to walk in verse 7? For we walk by what? Faith. Not by what? See, that goes really well with what we talked about last week. How much of professing Christendom is out here trying to walk after what they think they see God doing? Not necessarily based upon a rightly divided, biblically intelligized understanding of God's Word and who they are as a member of the church, the body of Christ, right? Our walk today is to be based on what? Faith. That goes with what we saw in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, where he says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so what? Walk ye in Him, right? Well, how did you receive Him again? You received Him by what? By faith. How does that verse tell you to walk as a believer? Walk by faith, not by what? Sight. I have to have, in order for me to have a worthy walk is going to come from me walking by faith in God's Word and what God tells me where? In His Word. So we have that aspect of our walk. Come over to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk where? In the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of what? The flesh, right? And then you go on down through here, verse 17. He's going to tell you what the lusts of the flesh are. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. I want to point something out here. That verse does not say that the flesh lusteth against the old man. That says that the Spirit lusts against what? The flesh, right? Why does it not say that it's lusting against your old man? Because your old man is what? Dead and crucified and put to death, Romans 6, right? But your flesh, you still are in a body. You still, until the day of redemption, are living in a body of flesh. And we know that sin resides where? In the flesh. Right? And so you have the struggle there, not between a new nature and an old nature, not between an old man and a new man, but a struggle between the Spirit of God in you that is advocating and making intercession for you according to the will of God, who wants you to do the right thing and obey God's Word, against the flesh. And it says, the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye want. would, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under what? Can I tell you something? Anytime you think that you're going to be better off by being under the law, that is not the Holy Spirit of God in you telling you that. Okay? That is your flesh that is desiring to perform, desiring to do something, desiring and thinking that it can add something to the equation to try to help God out. Okay? But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. The Spirit of, so what does that mean? That means the Spirit of God leads no man today to follow the law. So if you hear any man, any preacher, any ministry telling you that the way you're going to be made perfect in Christ, or the way you're going to walk worthy is to follow this list, or that list, or the Mosaic Law, or some other list, run as far away from you can as from that as fast as you can, because that is not going to produce life in you. Amen. It's going to bring about a functional type of death where you're not able to do what you want because you're trying to keep a system that was never designed to bring life. Okay? So we're to walk in the Spirit. Verse 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And he's going to tell you what the works of the flesh are. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, and of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Is love. Is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc. The Spirit of God is going to produce those things. So we're not to walk after the flesh. We're to walk how? In the Spirit. Come over to Ephesians chapter 4. Come over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, here it is again, that ye walk how? That's the same phrase that we see in Colossians 1:10. Beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are what? Called. So I want to point a couple of things out to you about this here. First of all, notice the language. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, command and order you to walk worthy. Is that what it says? No. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. Beseech is the language of grace. To beseech is the language of grace. It's not the language of the law. The law commands. The law orders. The law demands, right? Grace asks. Grace requests. Grace beseeches. He says, I beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. So there's a vocation and a walk that a saint is called unto, we learn from this verse. And Paul's beseeching the Ephesians that they would walk worthy of that vocation. That they would walk in a manner that is consistent with the vocation wherewith they are called, or wherewith ye are called. What does that look like? With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another. How? So what does that walk look like? What does the walk look like that's worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called? It is characterized by lowliness and meekness and long suffering and forbearing one another in love. It's not indicative of haughtiness and high-mindedness and selfishness and self-promotion. The walk, worthy walk, is indicative of what it says in verse 2. Lowliness and meekness and long-suffering and forbearing one another with love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and so forth there in the bond of peace. And so those are the things that are characteristic of the worthy walk. Or walking worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. You're in chapter 4, go to verse 17. He says in verse 17, so it's interesting, right? How does he start chapter 4? He starts chapter 4 with beseeching them to walk how? Worthy, right? Now he's going to come back to that in verse 17. He says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their what? Mind. So how do the Gentiles walk? The Gentiles walk in vanity and high-mindedness. The Gentiles walk in pride, self-promotion, self-adulation. That's how they walk, right? So there's a contrast between the worthy walk and the vocation in verse 1 and 2 with lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love with how the Gentiles are walking, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth... What does henceforth mean? From now on. That ye henceforth, or from now on, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Now watch, verse 18, having their understanding what? Darkened. What did we learn last week in Colossians 1:9? What is Paul praying for? That they would be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual what? Understanding. The Gentile, in order for you to walk worthy, do you have to have some spiritual understanding? The contrast is right here in Ephesians chapter 4, where he says that the Gentiles henceforth, that ye henceforth walk not as the other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding what? Darkened. They have no ability, they have no capacity to walk worthy. Number one, they're not saved. Okay? So in their unsaved state, can they bring about anything that God will accept anyway? No. Okay? But their fundamental problem is that their understanding is darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their what? Heart. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all manner of uncleanness with greediness. But look at verse 20. But ye have not so learned who? Is that how we learn to walk? No. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your what? Mind. So if you are going to walk worthy, if you are going to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, you're not going to walk like the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, without understanding, being alienated from the life of God. Now, that's not how you're going to bring about a worthy walk. Now, can you, here's the reality of the situation, can you choose to still act, think, and function like that? Yep. Verse 24, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor. We read this passage last Sunday when we were talking about the will of God, right? But this is also talking about the walk. We're not to walk as the Gentiles walk. We're to walk differently. We're to walk frankly. Go to chapter 5. We're not to walk in the haughtiness of our own mind, as it says there, alienated from the life of God and ignorant because without understanding. Chapter 5, verse 1, be therefore followers of God, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk how? In love. As Christ also hath what? Loved us. So if you want to understand how you're supposed to walk, who do you look to? You look to Christ. Okay? You want to understand what it means to walk in love? You look at who? You look at Christ. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh what? Saints. So there's all these contrasts here. between how laying out how we're to walk, how we're to have a worthy walk as members of the church, the body of Christ. You're in chapter 5, look at verse 8. Chapter 5, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness. Here's the reality. Before we were saved, were we doing exactly what chapter 4, verse 17, 18, and 19 was talking about? Before you were saved, were you walking as a Gentile in the vanity of your mind, having your understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God and all that stuff? Is that who you were? Yes, right? So he says in chapter 5, verse 8, he says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of what? Have you had a change in identity? Here's the thing I don't understand. How can I be a new creature? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, all things are passed away, behold, all things are become what? How can I be a new creature and still be walking around with an old nature? Either that is dead, either it's been put to death through the sacrifice of Christ, and I am a new creature, or I'm not. I struggle with that. I don't understand how that can be the case. I believe I take the position that I'm a new what? That I'm a new creature in Christ. That's who I've been made in Christ. And I have the ability, because of who I've been made in Christ now, to walk as a child of what? Of light. Then you have also there in chapter 5, verse 15. See then that ye walk how? Circumspectly. Not as fools, but as what? Wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord was. So there's again. Do I have to have some understanding of the will of the Lord there? If I'm gonna walk circumspectly, if I'm gonna walk not as a fool but as wise, do I have to know what God's doing? Do I have to have knowledge of His will? Okay? So let's go with all that now. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 1. So what do we see in all that? Number one, we saw we're to walk in newness of life. Number two, that we're not to walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Number three, that we're to walk honestly. Number four, that we're not to walk in craftiness and dishonesty. Number five, we saw that we're to walk by faith, not by what? Sight. We saw in Galatians we're to walk in the Spirit. Again, we saw in Ephesians 4 that we're to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. We saw that we're not to walk as the Gentiles walk, but that we're to walk in love, we're to walk as children of light, and we're to walk circumspectly. We've seen all that. Now go back to Colossians. Chapter 1. Look at verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of who? The Lord. Unto all what? Pleasing. How can you please the Lord with how you choose to walk? It says that you might walk worthy unto the Lord unto all what? So is there a walk that I can have as a believer that would therefore be unpleasing? Well, duh. We just read about it, right? So he wants them, in verse 9, to be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that they can, in verse 10, walk worthy of the Lord unto all what? Pleasing. Now, so we are to walk worthy unto all pleasing. To walk worthy means, what does that mean? What does it mean to walk worthy then? To walk worthy means to walk in such a way that is becoming of the new life that we've received in Jesus Christ. What does it mean, becoming? Some of you have background in the military, right? Do you want to have conduct unbecoming?
No.
What happens? Bad stuff. Right? If you have conduct unbecoming in the military, that's not a good thing. You're usually in some sort of significant trouble if you're being charged with that, right? Well, we should have, as Paul lays out for us, conduct that is becoming who we are in Christ. Go back to Ephesians 5. Stick something in Colossians, go back to Ephesians 5. I didn't read this on purpose, the end of this verse, because I wanted to talk about it here. To walk worthy means to walk in such a way that is becoming, that in other words, suitable, proper, fitting who we are, who we've been made. Colossians or Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, he mentioned in verse 2 to walk in love. Then he says in verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, watch what he says. Let it not once be named among you as what? As becometh what? Saints. Okay? Something that is becoming. What does becoming mean? Something that is becoming is suitable, proper, belonging to the character, or adapted to the circumstances. Okay? So for example, if I invite you to my wedding, and I say on the invitation that this is a black tie affair, right? So you gotta, and you come in your shorts, t-shirt, and sandals, right? Are you dressed appropriately for that event? No, right? To show up, and if you're explicitly told this is the nature of the event, and you show up that way on purpose, you are dressed unbecoming of the event, right? And you're being disrespectful, and you're doing it on purpose if you know what the expectation is, right? That's the idea. So you don't wear jeans or a t-shirt or shorts to a formal black tie dinner party, because it's not worthy attire, i.e., it's unbecoming of the circumstances. It's not fitting. It's not suitable. It's not proper to the nature of the event, right? Well, what's he saying about our walk? He's saying, but fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. So what's wrong with a believer participating in fornication and adultery? And, you know, sexual impropriety and so forth, or coveting, or uncleanness, or these things. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that is it is not becoming who you are in Christ. That's what's wrong with it. Go to Philippians chapter 1. So a worthy walk is a walk that is becoming of who we are. A walk that's in line with who we've been made in Christ. Where did I tell you to go? Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse 27. Philippians chapter 1, look at verse 27. He says, let our conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Huh. So let our conversation, let our manner of life, let our walk, let our way of going about life, let our conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. So again, is there a walk I can have as a believer that doesn't jeopardize the fact I'm a believer, because me being a believer isn't based on anything I've done? It's based on what Christ has done what? For me. Right? So can I be saved? Can I be justified? Can I be a member of the body of Christ and choose to walk in a manner that is unbecoming of the gospel? And so that's what he's exhorting us here not to do. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of what? The gospel. So as we think about this, go back to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Paul's desire for the Colossians, and by extension us, is to walk or to progress through life in a manner that is worthy and becoming who we are as saints. Okay? If you're a saint, and I say that, if you're a believer, are you a saint? Yes. If you're a believer, are you hagios? Are you a saint? Yes. And so there's a word, there's a worthy way of walking in light of that. Conduct that is becoming of a saint of God versus conduct that is unbecoming of a saint of God. Now I want to point out again, even though I've done it a bunch of times already, I want you to notice again the progression of Paul's thoughts here in verses 9 and 10. Okay? The worthy walk stems from the knowledge of God's will in verse 9. That the believer has already been filled with. So in verse 9, I make a choice to be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding so that I now have the capacity and the ability so that I can walk out worthy. Does that make sense? Now there's one phrase here that you might walk worthy unto, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all what? Pleasing. Interesting that it says that. Pleasing. In Greek, the word translated pleasing is a noun. Okay? So when I looked this up in the dictionary, I looked at the definition of the noun form of pleasing. Does that make sense? So I wanted to compare apples to apples here. According to Noah Webster's American Dictionary of the English Language from 1828, the noun form of the English word pleasing means the act of gratifying. The act of gratifying. I have to be honest with you, when I encountered that, I wasn't really expecting that. But as I thought about that, I think that's very interesting. The worthy walk of a mid-Acts Pauline grace believer is the most pleasing and gratifying sort of life that one can choose to live this side of eternity. Let me say that again. The worthy walk of a mid-Acts Pauline grace believer is the most pleasing and gratifying sort of life that one can choose to live this side of eternity. Because the aim of this life, the aim of this worthy walk, the aim of this becoming situation that we've been talking about here, the aim and the focus of this is not on me serving myself. It's based on me serving who? Others. And as I walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, you know what I'll be doing? I'll be walking in a manner that is the height of gratification that I can experience as a human being. Because I'd be fundamentally experiencing the life of Christ in me. Come with me to Romans 15. So much of what you see in Christendom out there is about manufactured substitutes to make you feel something. Okay? To make you feel it in the moment. To make you experience something that they want you to experience. And it's all about pomp and circumstance and trying to get you to have the experience that they want you to have. And what we're talking about here is not that. What we're talking about here is a satisfying, pleasing life that's gratifying to you in the details of your life, regardless of all that other stuff. Amen. Romans chapter 15, look at verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, watch, and not to please who? Ourselves. Let every, now, we're talking about, what are we talking about here? Let's make sure we understand, right? That we walk worthy, that you might walk worthy unto the Lord unto all what? Pleasing. Right? Not to please ourselves at the end of verse 1. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to what? Do you know what I have the ability to do as a member of the church, the body of Christ? I have the ability to walk in such a way that is not designed just to satisfy me, but to edify someone else. But to build somebody else up. To edify them. For even Christ pleased... Here's Christ again. He's always the example in Paul's epistles. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach me, that reproach thee, fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of peace and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to who? See, when we walk that way, we walk worthy unto all what? Pleasing. When we walk worthy unto all pleasing through that, we are creating a situation and a circumstance where my life is not just about me serving me, but my life is about me edifying others. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So much of what's said today from pulpits and in churches is based upon what we can get God to do for us, for me. A lot of times in direct contrast to what God has already said He's done in His Word. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 33. Even as I please all men in all things, Paul says, not seeking mine own what? Profit, but the profit of many, that they may be what? Saved. Go to Galatians chapter 5. I'm almost done. I'm told there's weather coming. But this is more edifying than weather. The only way the weather will be edifying is if I get a day off tomorrow. Galatians chapter 5. We read a few verses down, but I want you to look at verse 13 again. For brethren, we have been called unto what? See, there it is. When he said in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, as ye have therefore received him, Christ Jesus the Lord, so what? Walk ye in him. You've been saved by grace through faith. You've been given a standing in liberty in grace, Paul says in Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love do what? Serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thy what? Again, you have to try to wrap your mind around that. Am I under the law as a believer? No. Am I instructed as a believer to use my liberty to love one another and serve one another? Yes. So do I have the ability to use my liberty under grace in such a way that I can fulfill the requirement of the law to love my neighbor as myself?
Absolutely.
And not be under the law to accomplish it? Because of the set of circumstances that I've been placed in as a member of the body of Christ, that I can make a decision in my life not to please myself, but to edify who?
Someone else.
Last verse, and then we'll close. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to what? Please God. So ye abound more and what? So let's take all that now back to Colossians 1. The life, the worthy walk, becoming of a saint, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That is the most gratifying life that you can possibly live. this side of eternity. The most gratifying, the most satisfying, the kind of life that's going to fill you with thanksgiving, the kind of life that is going to manifest the life of Christ in your what? Mortal flesh, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians. Verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. It pleases the Lord. When we walk worthy of the high calling and the vocation wherewith we've been called. And when we do, your life can please who? Can please God Almighty. Thanks for this time, Lord, we could spend in your word. I pray that as we try to plummet the depths of all that, try to wrap our feeble pea brains around it, that we'll understand that that's what your word says, and so we need to know it, we need to reckon it, and we need to yield to it. We're grateful for who you've made us to be in Christ. We're grateful that we're new creatures in Christ. We're grateful that you have laid before us on the table the most gratifying, well-pleasing sort of life that a human is capable of living this side of eternity. We pray that we would meditate on that, that we would think about that, that we would pray and study more about that so that we could get that into our frame of reference so that we can act and live on the basis of it. We understand that our Christian life is not to be lived on the basis of ignorance and that there is a worthy walk that's well-pleasing to you. We're grateful for the time we could spend together in your word this morning. We just pray that as we close the service now and go off into our individual lives and families and work and so on, that we'll take the reality of what we've learned this morning with us. We ask this in Christ's name.